I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Well, hello there. Thanks for tuning in. We got ball games, folks. We've got MLB, two in the books. Houston had a chance to ice Tampa. They got rocked 10-3. Game four back in West Florida on the morrow. On Wednesday, we get us a game five in the divisional series as yada, yada, yada Molina with a sack fly in extra innings to push the Jose Cardinals past the Braves. That's all even at a deuce. The Doyers looking to wrap this setup at Washington, up 2-1. Got to the Mighty Max Scherzer for a first-inning bomb, courtesy of Justin Turner. Scherzer has settled in, throwing peas. The Nats pushed one across on a sack fly. I think was it Rendon that hit the sack fly? And it's 1-1, now playing the bottom of the fourth. Nobody on. I believe Ryan Zimmerman in there. The Nats, Rich Hill, got bounced in the third inning. So now Kenta Maeda, longtime starter, is in there in the Cardinal and Braves game. We saw many starters getting run out there with Michaelis was the... Well, he ended up getting the win, actually. And Julio Teheran, who gave up, you get a starter in there in extra innings. It's kind of a fish out of water. It's a different mentality as opposed to a reliever or a late inning guy. He gave up a leadoff ground rule double, and eventually they just needed a sack fly at the top of the hour, a little past top of the hour. Yankees and Minnesota with New York joining L.A. in pursuit of a sweep. The first two have already failed. Not a sweep, but a chance to put the series in their hip pocket. In me hip pocket! If you'd like to play 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Tell you what, in watching the Nats and the Dodgers, I don't know who the Washington pitching coach is. I know it's Honeycutt for L.A. Man, these guys, they're breaking stuff. They're off-speed stuff. It breaks like 8 feet. Maeda just now with a filthy slider, like a foot off the plate. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. A couple of the more amusing stories we were following outside of talking about Oregon's win and now the Friday game against Colorado. The Ducks, the only unbeaten team in league, in the division. Not only that, I mean, if you guys haven't checked the standings and you haven't kind of got radar locked in, both Washington schools, both Northern California schools already have 2 division losses. Amazing. Oregon State is actually, they're tied for second, but they've only got one loss, so I put them tied. And, of course, with all I just said, Oregon absolutely has the inside track. They control their fate, but still got a long way to go. Let's get ready to make some fun of one of the Minnesota Twins relievers and the oversensitive wieners who are I guess, upset over the Yankee fans. And the folks in Lawrence at the University of Kansas win the day for Are You Freaking Kidding Me? Over the Snoop Dogg appearance at their, what's the event they call, Night in the Fog? Late Night in the Fog to kick off the basketball season. So we'll mock them. We'll talk about the Pac-12, the national scene, NFL, keep you updated on MLB's pennant chase. But first and foremost, if you want to text us, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station, for the show, at Sports Talk 953 for Nick Rogers, at Rick Notchers. All right, to the Oregon Thiel injection hotline we go. Bring in Roger. Roger, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
All right. What's up?
Hey, notice in the game the other night, at least twice, Cal had two guys in motion at the same time. I thought that's illegal procedure.
Two guys in motion at the same time?
At the same time, yes.
I know
the
same
direction, too.
I know they can't be moving.
They did it multiple times.
Well, I think you can go in motion until maybe they come to set. I didn't notice, and obviously, if it was that blatant, it probably would have gotten called.
Yeah, I thought it was blatant, but I thought, maybe it's a new rule or something.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a rule change. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Roger. We've seen multiple guys in motion, and a tight end motion into the backfield while there is a receiver in motion splitting out. It's an interesting observation, and the first one who's actually made it, so perhaps there's some validity to it.
I noticed it as well, because it would be a thing where Monster would get up to the line of scrimmage, and he would more or less call an audible. Like, it wasn't like you're under center, you do the leg kick thing, and you send a guy in motion or whatever, and then, you know, at the same time, another guy's going in. It looked like an audible where a receiver moved up on the line, the two tight ends had loaded up on the left, and they were running at the same time back to the right, and then they get set up. So I was going to look up what it takes to get a too many men or a multiple men in motion kind of procedure penalty or something like that, but I noticed it as well. I figured that, you know, if the refs had seen it, they would have called it, or whatever Cal was doing is, you know, not breaking any rule, because I don't think it's just specifically two men moving at the same time.
Well, I would say if the observations are being made watching on TV, probably wouldn't get by the opposing coach or the referees. I'm saying we're probably missing a little something. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline, if you want to jump on in. Man, Kenta Maeda has just been nasty. Although, we had two straight whiffs and an infield hit, and now Scherzer is up, and whoa! Here, let's get a little Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, because here comes the rain. I mean, it's coming down. It's like clouding up the TV. So I would imagine they are at the point right now where they're like, come on, Scherzer, just strike out. We're going to run the tarp out, and there's going to be a delay in this game, I absolutely guarantee you. And I'm sure the network folks are like, oh, awesome. And by the way, Scherzer hits right on the button, but at the center fielder, and that's the third out. So four complete, one all, L.A. and Washington, and it is teeming in our nation's capital. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take another phone call. Bring in James. James, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on that multiple men moving question that the guy had. I think that obviously more than one guy can move, because Oregon would have gotten a penalty on every swinging gate play they ever did, because the whole team would shift during the play. So,
yeah, I think, and obviously there's the NFL rule, then there's the Canadian rule, where you could actually have guys moving forward prior to coming to set and the snap. So, yeah, like I said, it couldn't be that easy.
Thank you, Steve.
Have a good one. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Wow, I saw it on Twitter, and at Tristan Stagg on Twitter sent me. So apparently an older gentleman sent a letter to one of the Penn State players, who's obviously African-American, and he sends it on We Are Penn State Proud stationery. My wife and I just, 2019, that this mentality still exists, I want to run into a brick wall. Better yet, I want to push somebody into a brick wall. I don't really want to hurt myself. So my wife and I are proud older graduates of Penn State. Follow all Penn State sports, football, wrestling, blah, 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 blah. We love it all. I played all the sports in my younger days, still played, and he's, you know, going about how wonderful he is. Though the athletes of today are superior to those in my days, we miss the get ready for this. Clean-cut young men and women from those days, watching the Idaho game on TV, we, he's bringing his poor wife into this, couldn't help but notice your, well, awful hair. Surely there must be some mirrors in the locker room. Get ready for this. Don't you have parents or a girlfriend who've told you that shoulder-length dreadlocks look disgusting and are certainly not attractive? We congratulate you on your game against Pitt, but you need to remember you represent Penn State, both current and those alumni from years past. We would welcome the reappearance of dress codes for athletes. You will certainly be playing on Sunday in the future, but we have stopped watching the NFL due to the disgusting tattoos, awful hair, and immature antics in the end zone. Players should act as though they've been there before. And it's signed For the Glory on the Penn State stationery, and he signs it Dave Peterson. Did you guys hear what I just said? I mean, should this guy just have said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to be late for my Klan meeting, but and the cleaners close at 6 o'clock and I have to pick up my sheets. He signed it proudly. And I guarantee, like our tweeter said, I bet he was just smitten with this letter. By gum, these young kids need the guidance of some curmudgeonly old racist, because that's exactly what they want to hear. I miss evolution. I miss progress. I miss the people who aren't tone deaf and don't realize. Yeah, somebody just texted me. Guarantee that idiot defended Paterno and Sandusky. But their hair is short, and they wear thick glasses, and they're from the 60s.
No tattoos!
Because that is a be-all, tell-all. What would you say right now, because I've mentioned this before, my son, probably between them about 60 tattoos. And you want to know something? I don't care. It's not me. It's not my body. It's not how you judge a person. You want to know the truth? When I was going to high school, if somebody showed up with about 10 or 11 tattoos, it would have been like, well, that's different. But could you imagine, what would you say the percentage? You have to be a certain age to get a tattoo, I'd assume. 18? So age 18 right now. So if you're 40, I mean, you graduated 18 years ago. All right, I'm going to go 45. If you graduated from the mid-90s through now, would you say 75% of people have tattoos more?
75, I think.
Does that seem high?
That seems on the high end.
There's
a lot of people that just don't like tattoos. I don't have a tattoo. A lot of my friends don't have tattoos, but my girlfriend's got a couple tattoos. So it's just like,
but
it,
at
it's
this
whatever.
Point, to see somebody wearing tattoos and be like, at this point still, wow. It's like, so you've been in a box for a quarter century. You haven't looked at, and the whole thing of, I've hit the age now where I understand, and sometimes for people it's a tough pill to swallow. And this might sound weird. In essence, we don't matter. And when I say that, I mean, you know, for people, friends, family, coworkers, the people you engage with, you're just as important as you ever were. But nobody's aiming at you. There's, you know, maybe, you know, golf gear manufacturers are aiming at us. But the beer,
AARP.
The soda, yeah, right. It's like you're not a primary target anymore because you prove with most breaths how out of touch you are. And it's like, that guy sat, let me tell you something, that's a letter. That's not an email. That's what gets me the most. He sat down on his desk. He took out his quill pen and dipped it in the ink.
He took the time to type out the letter, put it on university stationery. He put in the weird quotes. It was grammatically correct. There were semicolons and dashes involved.
Oh, yeah, it was spot
that were,
on.
That were in the proper place. You know, he had Clippy on his Microsoft Word on his Gateway desktop computer that's 19 years old that he's still rocking with or whatever, that was like, hey, you're going to want to use the semicolon here. He left space at the bottom, and then he signed it like John Hancock, too. He didn't, like, scribble out his name.
No.
You can tell that Dave wrote this letter. It's wow, man.
Did he make a copy of it and hang it up at home?
He probably kept a copy for his records because he wanted to make sure that what was being sent.
Did he put it in a file cabinet?
Oh, you know what? I think he did.
I think he
did. At the very least, he has a folder of other letters he sent
right.
out. It went in that folder.
And, I'm not going to say what. Kind of, well, I'm not going to say the exact words he used to describe young guys like that, so we're just going to leave that to your imagination. But proud older graduates.
Lots of weird, like, quotes and things in there, too. It was just like, I'm an older guy, and I would like players to be played the right way. And I don't watch the NFL because players celebrate in the end zone, and they don't act like they've been there before.
I wonder what people he's targeting here. By the way, yes or no question. So did he go to get stamps, or is he the kind of guy who sends enough letters that he had a roll of stamps?
Oh, he's got stamps.
And...
Oh, yeah. I don't send a lot of letters, but even I...
Yeah, I occasionally
get the
stamps from the ATM.
Yeah. You need to buy like a half roll or half pad or whatever.
And they last
got
like 3 years.
Right, exactly. It's like, you know, I buy a bunch at Christmas, send out a holiday letter. I've got enough left over to last me literally the other 11 months of the year.
So another question. Did he leave the stamped letter for the letter carrier to pick it up, or did he go to the post office,
oh, wow,
put it in the box, and then open it again to make sure it went through?
No, he seems like a guy, he probably lives in like a really nice house, and he's got the mailbox where you just flip up the
paper clip it, or
yeah,
put
the red flag is up that, hey, we got a letter in here that needs to get sent out. The mailman picks it up. He sees the mail. He watches from his home office out the front window to make sure the mailman picks it up before he puts the mail in, and then he double checks the next day. Hey, Bob, my mailman guy, you picked up that letter that was in there yesterday, right? Okay, it's really important. I just wanted to make sure you got it.
You got that letter, didn't you, Fred?
I only made another copy. It's for my personal records.
In case.
You know, just in case you lost it. I could send it again, but that's an expensive stamp, you know? It's 59 cents or whatever.
All right.
75 now? I don't even know how much a stamp costs.
By the way, this is a great text. He doesn't even have forever stamps. He's got exact postage.
Oh, that guy absolutely doesn't buy
3 cent stamps.
He doesn't buy forever stamps. He's like, no. What do you mean use it forever? What if the price of stamps go down? No. I'm wasting my money. I can't buy a forever stamp.
He's the husband in Fargo. Oh, you never know. They use the 3 cents sometimes, especially when the postage goes up. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you'd like to jump on in. By the way, I can't even tell you how many people are now texting. Yeah, he does not have forever stamps.
No, he probably doesn't like the eagle or the bear that's on there. And so, like, he probably bought a bunch of Joe Paterno stamps. I'd imagine Joe Pa's been on a stamp. He probably bought $100 worth of stamps that he still uses and then, you know, cuts them out and buys the random stamps. He's a pain in the butt at the post office because he won't use the forever stamps. People have to figure out why he can't just send an email anymore. Like, even people at the post office are like, please stop sending letters, man. You got to stop this, Dave.
You're just destroying progress single-handedly. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The only thing that was more ridiculous and out of touch this weekend was the Midnight Madness at Kansas for basketball. They call it Late Night in the Fog, and they had Snoop Dogg as a guest. And if you saw what happened, wow, is it funny. Wow, is it amazing. Wow, do people... I guess it comes under the segment we did years ago where I'm surprised you're surprised because you can't be surprised by the obvious. If you woke up tomorrow and you've been alive like, you know, multiple decades, it's Tuesday? Nobody warned me. I am not ready for this. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, let's take a caller, bring in Jahi. Good afternoon. Appreciate you calling. How's it going?
Oh, no problem. How you doing, man?
Great. What's up?
So I was overhearing you guys talk about that letter that guy said, and I was just wondering, so...
You're starting to break up. I could hardly hear you. You still...
I'm going to try to call back in.
He's good now.
Okay. Now all of a sudden you sounded fine.
All right. Well, then while I'm in, I'll just try. I was wondering what the outcome he was expecting from that letter could be.
I have no idea. Did he expect the young guy to be like, you know what? You're right. I hope the barbershop is open. I'm going to go get a haircut, have my tattoos removed, and I want to be more like this racist idiot.
Exactly. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, what goes through your mind and what possesses you to take that much time out of your day to sit down and write a letter?
Is it unbelievable? Yeah, it's what I call head hurts stupid, but glad the call went through. You sound much better, and I appreciate the call. Have a good night. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know what kind of scares me? And I feel bad saying this. There are probably people listening to this right now who are like, and... maybe they and I guarantee there's somebody listening now who's like, well, and, you know, taking a point counterpoint because they believe in this ignorance, too. All right. Man, it got warm in here. 1-1, bottom of the fifth. Now the Dodgers are playing different pitcher every inning to try and match blanks because, man, since Scherzer gave up that homer, I think the second hitter of the game, I mean, he's just gone pure out filthy, and he's blowing people away. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break. We'll be back. More sports talk rolls on. 95.3, the score.
.95.3 The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
Aaron Jones trying to get to the edge. He does. He's got another. What a game. Third of the afternoon. Maher. He missed it.
Huge day for Aaron Jones. Then finally Dallas went away. They were down 10. They were kicking a field goal with a 1:44 left. It was a long shot anyway. So Mar makes a Maher, I guess, 27-yard field goal. But false start, 32 yards. He misses it. Pack wins. Dow loses. So that's always a good day. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, you know on Wednesday we have our Yay Day with our Green Hill Humane Society Pet of the Week. Well, they have a special deal going on. It's Dogtober, folks.
Dogtober!
The rest of this week, if you go and adopt a doggy who's over 2 years old, 50% off the fees. And then this week, this Saturday, is their evening for animals. And I will get to the details and whether Megan or Sarah is here on Wednesday. Pass it along. But, yeah, check it out, green-hill.org. Learn more. Support this fantastic local organization who does such marvelous work, darlings, and you know who you are. All right, welcome back. Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score. The Nats have taken a 2-1 lead. Yankees and the Minnesotians throw first pitch about 20 minutes from now. And now Scherzer on the lead. See if he settles in, because he's been throwing darts for the last four innings. All right, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Randy. Randy, how's it going?
Doing good, Steve. How are you?
Great. What's up?
Well, I got a couple comments. First one is a long time listener, and when you retire, it's going to break my heart, but it sounds like you got it in good hands, so that's all good.
I'm retiring? Is my boss going to show up after the show?
Time or two, you mentioned it. So, I don't know. So, anyway, I love this time of year. You got preseason NBA, go Blazers. And the last couple of years, I've started to follow soccer because it's only our other pro team from Oregon, go Timbers. They made the playoffs. You got the MLB, NFL. I just love it.
No, this is my favorite time of the year. I always say, if I don't want to gush too much because my bosses will find out that it's like I would almost do this for free now. The month of October is so good for the 80 reasons you just gave.
I love it. So, and my second comment is, I sit here and I listen to the MLB playoffs and the Nationals made it, and I just got to wonder what would have happened if Portland would have got that franchise.
Yeah.
And with that, I want to say, come on, powers above, bring MLB to the state of Oregon so I can quit rooting for the Mariners. And I don't know. I hope it happens in my lifetime. I think it's going to, but we need more pro teams in the state of Oregon. I think the fan base is there. It just needs to happen.
All right. Hey, Randy, I appreciate the call and the kind words. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good night. There is no doubt in my mind that the NHL or MLB would flourish in Portland. First of all, once upon a time, back, I would say, before I started doing this full time, when I was working primarily in on public radio, so I think it would be 94 or 95, they were talking about building a stadium in Portland. And it was around the time that you saw, you know, the days of Yankee Stadium and Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, where they held 58,000, 60,000. It was like, no. Everything was going to go the way of like Camden Yards. You know, obviously a newer stadium would come with higher ticket prices, so you didn't need 50,000 tickets. If you had 39, 42 consistently, and people were like, well, and it was like, yes. And by that, by the way, I think when I moved here now 29 years ago, I believe since then, the population of the state has doubled. So you're drawing from a more substantial pool. Plus, you know, people across, you know, you go across the bridge into Vancouver, that's a heavily populated area. And folks who travel to see the Ducks from, you know, Bend and Portland and Ashland, you know, that 2 hour would absolutely make the trek to Portland. And I think it was the Confederated Tribes offered originally to just foot the bill for a new stadium. And, of course, everybody was like, we don't want to be connected with gambling. And it's like, shut up. They're offering to pay for it. It's like, thank you very much. But where it's at now, it's, you know, the Nats are cemented. That was the Expos who were in trouble. I think it would have to be one of the Florida franchises. I forget. We were talking about it during the course of the year. Where are we at with the stadium in Oakland for the A's?
They're working. They have a site and some renderings of stadiums that are in, like, the Jack London Square area. The A's post about it a lot. Like, they seem like they've got, like, a solid plan going forward. I don't think anything's been approved from MLB at this point as to say, okay, the A's can stay in Oakland, which maybe they would, considering the Warriors have moved to San Francisco, the Raiders are going to go to Vegas. You can't really have Oakland, the A's leave Oakland too, because you're going to have, you know, quite a big market just suddenly become a vacuum for professional sports teams when that's a city in an area where players or fans absolutely show up 110% when their team is there and playing well. Because, I mean, as much as I would like baseball in Portland, it would suck to have Oakland go from three pro teams to none in just, like, in a matter of
the
months.
The problem with the A's is they don't draw. They might support them. They draw like crap. It's a pain in the ass to get there. I'm by the way, this isn't me talking. I've been there twice. I loved it, but we were there just for the Yankees A's series. So it wasn't like I had other options of what to do in the East Bay. So I mean, if you look at it, their most well-attended games every year are like those businessman specials during the afternoon where like ticket prices are like $12. Yeah, obviously they show up when it's a playoff game, but first you got to get in.
But that's the thing is, like, if Billy Bean wasn't such a cheap ass and he actually invested...
It's not him the cheap ass, it's the owner.
Well, still, but, like, you have a ton of talent. Oakland in the Bay Area is by no means a tiny market.
Oh,
like,
I know.
It's not just Oakland.
They operate like one.
They shouldn't, is the thing. And, like, a lot of big teams, like the Red Sox deciding, I don't know if we can pay Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez because of the luxury cap. Guess we're going to have to play Moneyball now. Like, that sucks, man. Like, pay these good players that come up through your system to keep them there. Because the A's fans that I know and that I talk to absolutely love all the guys that come up. And they hate when time and time again, it's just like, there goes Billy Bean trading away, you know, a really good player for a bunch of magic beans and a couple prospects to eventually 5 years down the road make a run to lose a wild card game. Like, no, like if you keep a team together and you put some money into it, like this is a team that can move on.
I agree, but the numbers, like I said, Ryan Zimmerman, the vet, the old man river, just hit a 3-run shot to give the Nats a 5-1 lead in the bottom of the fifth with the mighty Max on the hill. Let me tell you something. If you're the skipper right now, you're still thinking, I'm going 8 out of Scherzer. I don't trust that bullpen as far as I could throw him.
8 out of Scherzer might not be enough either.
He's going to pitch the 9 today and maybe the first inning of game 5.
Maybe.
So Oakland is 24th in attendance, and the teams that were behind them in attendance all had horrific seasons except... Tampa,
which they're also in a horrible stadium.
When I first saw the King Dome, I was like, I thought the taxi driver was joking because we were far enough away. The first time I landed in SeaTac, May of 1990, there's the King Dome. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a box. It's a cement block. And then when we went in late 2000s to visit my cousin in New Smyrna Beach, we drove the 2 hours across the state to see Yankees Rays, and I went to that place, and I was like, that doesn't look like a pro stadium either. And Tampa St. Pete is a retirement community.
And yeah, and the part
think how good that team is. They average 14,000.
Well, they stuck it in the wrong part of town. Like that's the thing that I read about.
Garbage.
They just like stuck it on the other side of a bridge on the bad side of town where they're just like, we've got land and a roof. It's fine. We'll make it work. And if it doesn't work, then we'll play in Montreal and also the new stadium or whatever. Like. That doesn't work. Like, I mean, you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are very good with a stadium on apparently the correct part of a bridge or wherever in Tampa. They, you know, sell out most nights, have highly attended games, are super popular, and one of the best teams in the NHL. Like, it's not the people of Tampa. It's literally you put the stadium in the wrong place. Like, that, which is an easy fix if you can find land, which you literally can't, which is why they had to put it in the wrong place. Which is just, it's really just like a snake eating itself of problems that are being caused.
I mean, when we came out of that game and I went up to a cop and I was like, so where can we go? So, okay, it was April. So I was like, where could we go catch maybe some NHL or NBA playoffs? And he's like, yeah, there's no place around here. What? It's a major league park. He's like, yeah, it's everything closes early. He's like, there's a convenience store. You might be able to get some wine or beer. Thanks. So awesome, man. Nothing like walking out of a major league ballpark and there's not a sports bar within walking distance. Now, that's about 10 years ago, so it may have changed. But at the time, I was like, man, that is Bush League.
I'm pretty sure that's what the Niners stadium in Santa Clara is like, too. It's just like
there's
nothing out there. You have to walk across a bridge over a canal to get from the parking lot to the stadium. There are, when I went like 4 or 5 years ago, there were a couple hotels, and then there's Great America, which is a theme park, which like isn't open during football season, and there's just nothing to do. Like, you have to just drive another 5-10 minutes or walk like half a mile to get close to something, and it's just, yeah, just a poorly planned stadium. Which apparently the city is fighting the Niners over their actual ownership of it because whoever is in charge with the Niners isn't paying the rent that they're due on the stadium for the land or something. Like, that's a whole big kerfuffle, too.
A kerfuffle. I like a good kerfuffle. All right. Before we move along, a quick shout out to our friends at Josh Cooley, the official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks. And at this point, if you're looking to sell your home, you know, it's really important to know what the value is and not an estimate. It's not like somebody's going to come in, we're in that 192 to 198 range. It's like, you know, when the mortgage company gives you a mortgage, it's kind of specific. So the thing is, one of the reasons you deal with the high-level pros is because you're not looking ballpark, you're looking specific. And you need to know if you're selling and you're going to buy a new home, what your profit is. Then, in turn, you know how much house you could buy based on your down payment and actual formulas from the best in the business in real estate, which happens to be Josh and his team. So what they want to do is provide you the five diamond client service, help you achieve your goal, because at this point, to sell and prepare to move your life, it's complicated. You don't just hammer in a for sale sign. Somebody comes up, writes you a big check. We're done. I mean, when you've got things like home inspections, appraisals, I mean, that could pull the plug and quick. So you don't want to gamble here. Deal with the best in the business. Call or text, same number, 359-1999. Let Josh and his folks get you a home valuation assessment going. And online, EugeneRE.com. You could also email him at EugeneRE.com. So there you go. The Josh Cooley team, the official real estate team of the Oregon Ducks. All right, we'll take a break. Man, Washington's really looking to blow this thing open. It's 5-1 with two on. Scherzer happens to be up. So we'll come back, and the Yankee game starts. I'm starting to get butterflies. Back with more Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, hostie. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbirds. At the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Frost Brewed Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Boy, I'm exhausted. It feels like I've worked 3 days in this one day today. I don't know why. I'm very tired. I'm here for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment Made to Chill. At Worldwide Wob is everybody's tweeting about either the baseball or the Monday night game that's on. At Worldwide Wob is watching New York Knicks preseason basketball, where I think one of the Morris twins put it as Worldwide Wob said, gotta be a top five disrespect move on the court. He does the thing where he has the ball in between both hands up high on the right side of him. He pulls it across and he does a fake pump fake or overhead like soccer style throw, except he hit whoever was on the Wizards right in the forehead. He absolutely just bumped him on the head.
Oh! I would take exception to that.
So it's a late nominee, but it's a pretty good one. Because, like, I've never seen anybody get hit in the
head. I'm not sure I've seen that either. Honesty could be obvious.
Obviously honest. At Steve P. Zager on Twitter as well. Levi Stadium being in Santa Clara is like the Portland Timbers playing in Salem. It's just in an obscure location. That's very true. They're the San Francisco 49ers playing in Santa Clara, California, which isn't even San Jose. It's not a cool part of San Jose. It's out of town. I mean, San Jose's in Santa Clara County, so I mean that's the same thing. But yeah, it's
is it that far? Is it 50 miles or so, or time-wise?
From San Francisco, it's probably a 45-minute drive, and then from like my house in San Jose, which is South San Jose, it's probably 10-15 minutes if traffic is good, which in the Bay Area it's normally not. So it's just in a random spot in a weird part of town with nothing fun to do except for a tailgate, and then even the parking then is super expensive. So yeah, it's not very good. But our tweet of the day comes from at EDSBS. Every Saturday, or every day should be Saturday, quoting a tweet from at CJHO1MS, CJ Holmes, I believe.
Yeah.
That is where the letter came from the guy Dave, who talked about how he's an older guy who wants players to play the right way and they should cut all of their hair because they look awful and their tattoos are bad. Dave's a racist. At EDSBS tweeting, it's going to be a busy week for Dave. And it is going to be a busy week for Dave. So thanks to at EDSBS for the refreshing tweet of the day. You can follow the station on Twitter at 953thescore. You can follow me on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. You can follow Steve on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just
JDI. Somebody, that letter we were talking about from the Penn State fan is now officially making the rounds on Twitter. Good God, man. Where's your IQ? No, you don't have one. All right, I switched over to the Yankee game.
Why?
We are now in the Twin Cities. Jake Odorizzi squaring it off as, a runner on. Base runner. Man on second, top of the first. The Cardinals walked it off in 10 on a yada, 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 sack fly after Julio Teheran came on and gave up a leadoff double, got in trouble. Starters in relief, not always works out well. Got five complete. Ryan Zimmerman with a three-run jack in support of the Mighty Max. Max Scherzer, who gave up a home run in the first inning, just two hits since and a walk, six strikeouts through five, as he and Stella have found their groove earlier today. Tampa big over Houston 10-3 to force at least a fourth game there. So opportunity exists for the Dodgers to ice the series and hope that the National League, you know, was going to game five, would have given them an edge. Looks like they're becoming the third road team to brick today. The Yankees at mini have a chance to win this game and then sit around and set their rotation as Houston and Tampa play at least another day. So with Aaron Judge on second, that's where we stand there. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. A lot of conversation earlier in the program centering on the now north-leading Ducks, who are not only in first place, but four of the five teams behind them already have a second division loss. The only team with just one is Oregon State, because they already had their bye with that victory over UCLA. And that was a big win for Oregon State. It's progress. It's an offer of optimism and hope for a program that had truly bottomed out at the end of the Gary Anderson era as he just walked away. I think the first game back, they were competitive, but they just finished 2017 in disarray. Jonathan Smith and his staff came in and took over a reconstruct, and looked like they had a chance to pull out a big win at home against Stanford after spotting the Cardinal a 21-0 lead last week. But after tying it at 28, as Encarnacion flies out to end the top of the first inning, Yankees nothing, Twins coming to bat against Luis Severino. Oregon State with a really, really important, impressive performance. They've got an arsenal. They also had a really ballsy play on that onside kick off of a touchdown. Made it 21-0 in the first. And I'll tell you what, there was Maybe a nervous moment in the third, up 27-10. The Bruins took it in to make it a 10-point game. Both teams traded punt. But then Luton hit a homer from 53 yards out to Tyjon Lindsay, regained control. And UCLA kept cutting it back to 10 points. But, man, that last drive on the road at the Rose Bowl took over after 25 after a touchback. Luton himself, from 19 yards out, ended the scoring and pretty much the game. But they got the ball up 10 with 8:39 to go, and they ate up 7 minutes. Isaiah Hodgins is as good a receiver as there is in this conference. And remember, with Jamar Jefferson, one of the top freshman runners in the country last year, still hobbled a bit with that ankle. He only had 5 carries. Artavis Pierce shouldering the load. 141 yards and 2 TDs in the almost win against Stanford. A buck 19 and another TD on Saturday, plus a 53-yard catch and run. So in the last 2 games, he's totaled 184 and 172 yards from scrimmage. And I'll tell you what, I don't even think you need a qualifier here, because the offense the Ducks face this week, led by Steven Montez, will climb the list perhaps to the top. But of the teams Oregon has played since Auburn, and the caliber of that offense was limited this week. So the 2 Northern California schools and the non-conference teams from Nevada and Montana, I'd say Oregon State right now is absolutely a better offense than any of those 4. But then we also saw Auburn limited. That was a bricklayer 24-13 loss at the Swamp to the Gators. They managed a 12 first downs. Bo Nix threw 3 interceptions. He was 11 of 21. They actually had just 269 yards. So right now, Oregon State of might be better than all 5 of those teams offensively. And yeah, the caliber of the UCLA defense is all over the place, and not many of those places are good. But 48 points on the road in conference, considering where this program was 17 games ago. Yeah, that's noticeable progress. By the way, you think it's an other end of the spectrum defense? Utah coming to Corvallis, 5 o'clock on the Pac-12 network. We talked a lot of you chimed in about the Oregon game with that defense through a shutout again. It's like one half a week. They decide nothing, no points for you. We're talking about the defensive backs in particular, who I just think are so well coached by Dante Williams and Keith Hayward. I mean, the open field tackling, we've talked about how wonderful of a player Javon Holland is, but Nick Pickett, what a sure tackler. Thomas Graham as well. Yeah, those guys, I don't know if it's technique beyond coaching and all that, but Diamador Lenore as well. Yeah, their secondary's legit. I'm going to give a go, Yankees. You all have yourselves a magnificent evening. We'll catch up with you on tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.